The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Sing the song, AK. Sing the song.
I was going to leave it to you. Oh, no. We didn't plan this.
Oh. Right, here we go.
Ready, it's AK? Martial arts?
Ready?
Oh,
ready,
AK? I thought here it started go. Now. Go.
Mixed martial arts.
Already?
Oh, we
again.
All right. It's horrible.
This is a terrible start. One of the worst ever.
Are we mixed martial arts again already? I thought we didn't mix martial arts last week?
We did. I don't know what happened here, but we're gonna get right into this. We're gonna ignore what just happened for the past 30 seconds, because the UFC's lightweight division will be on full display tomorrow night at the Apex. We got a main event with some pretty high stakes. We have a big time prospects battle to determine who could be a top 10, maybe a top 5 guy very soon. And we have another prospect bout with two guys looking to take a step forward. And those are just three of the matchups on the slate for tomorrow night's fight cards. Welcome you to the UFC Vegas 49 preview show here on MMAfighting.com. We are live on YouTube. So for those who are joining us right now, welcome. We appreciate you. And for those watching or listening after the fact, welcome to you as well. We appreciate you just as much as at least I do. I think Jed Meshew might feel a little bit differently about that. Jed, how are you, sir?
I appreciate people showing up. I mean, hell, I'm one of them. This is my day off, and I'm here to talk about a mediocre fight card with you gentlemen instead of playing Elden Ring. So I'm committed.
You sure are. We also have the Prince of Positivity, Mr. Alexander K. Lee, joining the tripod here. AK, I feel like I haven't talked to you like all week, my best friend. How are you?
I am great, sir. We did do on to the next one, thank God. But otherwise, yes, it's been too long since we have communicated face to face. So that I am happy about. But I should warn people ahead of time. I've got some critical comments to make about Saturday's UFC card.
All right. Well, I mean, you can't just leave that out there and not just get critical.
Oh, I wanted to build up to it. I mean, this card
is
not.
We could have built up to it, but you just dropped that nugget out there, and we can't ignore it. So,
look, this card is not very good. I mean, I think I said this last week. I do think this is better than last week's card on paper, at least. I think I love the main event with Makhachev and Bobby Green. I actually think it's only like, I don't want to compare it to the Makhachev Dariush main event, because they're intriguing in completely different ways. So it's not fair to say like this is more or less intriguing. It's a totally different thing. It feels kind of almost removed from the contender conversation. Maybe not for Makhachev. I know this sort of keeps him along that line. Bobby Green, people don't know what to make of it. You know, if he wins, should he, you know, jump the spot and now become a number one contender? I don't know. Some say yes, some say no. So I know there's been some debate about it. I know it was debated between the links with Shaheen and Jed. So I know you guys talked about it quite a bit. So, but overall the card, I just feel like maybe like half of it is, and I know this phrase changes all the time, UFC level. The other half, boy, it's a tough sell. And frankly, I'm not here to do the UFC and ESPN's job for them. Not this week.
Well, what's the gymnastic scale?
Oh man. I mean, I think for the Hermanson Strickland card. Oh no, I think last week I said something like 6.5. This is probably in that same range. It's probably in that same range. I give it a slight edge again because of a few fights that I'm really intrigued by. Makhachev Green, Sarukyan Alvarez. I love Gregory Rodriguez. I think that was a nice kind of sneaky fight to put in the main card, the fight with him and Armin Petrosian. And then a few of the prelims. I've been looking forward to McKinney Zium for a long time, so I can't suddenly say that it's not an intriguing fight just because it got postponed. I still think it's really, really one to watch. I just wish it happened last year, but things happen. It was an option. But again, that this is strictly the positives. The rest of the card is, it's just so much of it is lackluster and just, you know, people shouldn't be having to pay their, like, they should get an ESPN Plus credit or something. Like, I feel like this shouldn't be part of the subscription. Like, it's just, I just don't like some of these fights, people being on there. I'm with respect to the fighters, as always, I just don't like some of these matchups.
All right. Well, let's get into the fight that will cap off the festivities. And I want to go back to you, AK, because we've heard from Jed quite a bit about this fight. But we have the surging Islam Makhachev. He's won 9 in a row. He has looked unbeatable for the most part along the way. He gets a number one contender's bout against Beneil Dariush. Dariush gets injured. Massive hit to this card. But the golden phone in Bobby King Green's palace rings just days after putting a beating on Nasrat Haqparast in Houston, Texas, answers the call, gets this fight on 10 days notice, a fight that very few people in this division would actually take. And I don't blame anyone for saying no, but Bobby Green did not say no, AK. So you have to respect the gusto as he prepares for this massive opportunity. Very little to lose, I might add, but a win for Bobby King Green, AK, this really shakes up this loaded division, does it not?
It's a cliche, but it turns the whole damn thing upside down. I mean, we all wanted a big fight for Bobby Green after the Nasrat Haqparast win. He was coming off the Iaquinta win before that, his first winning streak in a couple of years. He's a fan favorite. He has an entertaining style. He's been around forever. He has a bunch of quality wins. You know, the knock against him is, you know, maybe he doesn't beat top 15, top 10 guys. That's fine. But after, you know, I'm looking two straight, five of his last seven, we're kind of like, he deserves some sort of ranked opponent. Now, none of us would have suggested a matchup with Makhachev. Obviously, it made no sense. Makhachev is in our top five, MMA fighting global ranking top five. He was in the perfect matchup with Dariush. They're tied for fourth, actually, in our rankings. So it made so much sense. And whoever won that, a lock for a title fight. So for Bobby Green to get this opportunity, it's a great story for him. There's rarely such a thing as a can't lose scenario in MMA. I mean, no one wants to go in there and lose under any circumstances, much less possibly catch a beating at the hands of an Islam Makhachev. But boy, the upside is so high. And I actually like the stylistic matchup. I just don't think there's a lot of people who have used their grappling to dominate Bobby Green in the way that I think a lot of people sort of first envisioned when they saw this matchup made up. They're like, oh, well, Islam's just going to run through him, take him down, and just truck him. And that might happen because the other side of that is, has Bobby Green ever faced a wrestler, grappler as strong as Islam Makhachev? Probably not. But I mean, again, I've just never seen him just strictly controlled with wrestling. I think the fight with Trinaldo, there was some grappling exchanges. He lost, so he ended up losing a decision there. But for the most part, he really is good at staying on the feet and making people fight his fight. And if he can do it with Makhachev, it's going to be a big test. We're going to need to see, you know, I know the Khabib Nurmagomedov comparisons are endless, but we're going to need to see sort of, does he have the kind of striking like Khabib showed against, you know, Iaquinta? Does he have the perseverance that Khabib showed against like a Michael Johnson? Because I think there could be elements of that here where Green kind of stings him on the feet. And then we have to see, can he fight through that? And then, of course, just go back to his wrestling game and win that way. So it's a good test for Makhachev. It just sucks for him that it's one that he doesn't really need now and doesn't benefit much from if he passes, except from a hardcore standpoint. You know, us in the media will think it's cool. Like, oh, he beat a tough guy. But really, he was ready. He's cued up for a teleshot. Now I don't know what a win over Bobby Green does. But for Bobby Green, win or lose, super exciting. And I think kudos to the UFC and their matchmakers for getting this one, and Bobby Green, of course, for getting this one put together on short notice.
Jed, you have sung the praises of Bobby Green making this fight the last two BTL shows. He's a massive underdog, plus 600. Not all that surprising considering the run that Makhachev has been on. And while this week has been the Bobby Green show, and he's been getting a ton of shine and praise for taking this fight, much deserved – I feel like Islam Makhachev has been kind of forgotten in a way this week because he's risking it all here against an unranked guy with a lot of buzz right now. Where's the shine on Islam, Jed? Because he could have said, nah, I'll wait for a top five guy. Nah, I'll take my chances on a title shot. I'll just wait it out. But he said, nope, Bobby Green's the next man up. All right, I'll do it. Where's the shine for Islam Makhachev here?
I mean, he should be getting the shine. People should. I say this all the time. Like, short notice fights are really complicated things. And it's not just because, ooh, Bobby Green didn't have a full camp to prepare. Like, yeah, well, Islam was doing a lot of other things and not prepared for Bobby Green. And so him taking this fight, especially given the position he's in, like he's, I think we would all agree, he is risking far more than Bobby Green is for this fight. Like, well, kind of like you're alluding to, like Bobby Green, sure, give him his props for taking it because a lot of other guys turned this down, allegedly. We can't say that for certain, but allegedly other guys were given the opportunity. Phone calls were made, and Bobby Green's the guy who raised his hand. So props to him for that. But at the same time, if you're Bobby Green, you're supposed to take this. Like, why wouldn't you take this? You can jump to the head of the line almost overnight. Like, it's – and if you lose, well, there's really limited downside to losing here. It's all upside for him. And it's the exact inverse for Islam. So, yeah, Islam should be getting credit, but that's just not really how these sorts of things work. It's always viewed through the guy coming in last minute as opposed to the dude preparing. But let me tell you, the UFC, if nobody else wants to give Islam credit, the UFC needs to cut that man a big old check, because if AK didn't like this card – you know, now as it stands, boy howdy, this card is a tough sell if Islam Bobby Green isn't at the top of the bill.
Yes. And you mentioned this, AK, and we had a nice little spirited debate on BTL because of this, and you sort of laid it out a little bit, but you didn't really give a full answer. But Jed believes no matter what, no matter who wins this fight, the next fight will not be for the belt. Whether Islam wins, whether Bobby Green wins, a title shot will not be awaiting the winner of this fight. Green would probably get a huge bump up, maybe into a title eliminator. Makhachev would have 10 wins in a row. But as Jed said, and there's part of me that sort of agrees with this.
Exactly what I said.
You said Connor would get it. You said he's not getting the title shot next.
I said if Bobby wins, he's not getting one. If Islam wins, it's like 50-50.
You said probably not. I said
probably, because if Gaethje wins, Islam gets the title fight. If Gaethje loses, I don't think Charles Oliveira fights Islam, but I think Gaethje's going to win. I think the most likely outcome here is that Islam's the next title challenger, but please continue.
But the point I was making is that it was not a guarantee that whoever wins gets the next title shot,
right? Guarantee.
Right. Green gets the big jolt. Makhachev has 10 wins in a row. But he doesn't have that signature win on his resume like pretty much everybody else who has fought for the belt at 155 has gotten. It's not his fault that these fights keep falling out. What, Jed?
Michael Chandler didn't really have a signature win.
Well, I mean, circumstances, Poirier, they had nobody else. It's a little different.
I feel like Makhachev's been kind of... the opportunity I can to bag on Michael Chandler because he sucks.
No, you are the biggest Michael Chandler fan of all time. But do you agree with that, AK? I'm going to let you talk now. Do you agree with that? Do you feel like if Islam Makhachev goes out there and beats Bobby Green convincingly, do you feel like he's definitely going to get the next title shot? Like, do you weigh it more than 50-50? Or does he have to just go out there and starch him? Like, if he goes out there and gets a decision win, would that be enough in your eyes to say, you know what, Islam Makhachev's next fight has to be for the belt next?
I'm definitely leaning a little more than 50-50, because I feel like there was sort of that unofficial thought that another win for Makhachev, again, presumably over Dariush, was the path for him to get the winner of Oliveira and Gaethje, right? The change in opponent for sure changes the scenario. How can it not? Bobby Green just is not at the level of esteem that Dariush is on. He's not on the run that Dariush is on. But I also think that they've invested so much in Makhachev that if, you know, Conor McGregor is not available, and I still think Conor McGregor, I'm sure he's expecting to come back and compete and be healthy by what, the summer or like third quarter, you know, 2022, the latest. He's just pretty unreliable. And I know, you know, he's going to say all kinds of stuff like, oh, I'll take the title whenever I want, or tweet, and he'll tweet some crap about that. But, is, you know, he's the kind of guy, is he just saying that? Is he actually still interested in winning that, fighting for that title? Does he want to give Oliveira the quote unquote, that red panty night and all that? I don't know. I honestly don't know if he cares about that anymore. We always say there's always options for him at welterweight too. So Oliveira would certainly want it. But Oliveira, I think, would also be happy to just say, look, Makhachev is the guy. Who's on the win streak. They'll be tied for the longest win streak if Makhachev gets that win on Saturday. I think Oliveira sees, you know, maybe it's not a McGregor fight, but there's money to be made there. It's a good opponent, a very dangerous opponent. Who isn't at 155 these days, right? He's about to fight Gaethje. So, you know, so, and Gaethje, of course, Gaethje, I don't think would be super picky either. So, yeah, everyone wants McGregor, but I do think Makhachev, again, I'm a little more than 50-50, probably closer to 60-40, maybe even 65-35. I just think he needs to win, and he still remains pretty clear-cut the number one contender for whatever happens with Charles Oliveira and Justin Gaethje. Yeah, again, the McGregor factor is always out there, but I think it becomes sort of just less and less with every passing day that he kind of, you know, is out of action. I just don't think the UFC can bank on that. And at the frequency with which they book cards, you got to go with the bird in hand, which will be Makhachev if he wins on Saturday.
What if Bobby Green wins, AK? Do you give him a title fight?
I mean, stranger things have happened. It certainly would not be my number one choice. Stranger things have happened. But yeah, I mean, if you beat someone in the rankings, you take their spot. So I don't know if that would, how much that would bump Makhachev down and how much it would move Green up. But I mean, I would give him Green spot. Some people wouldn't agree. Some people would say it's short notice. Some people would say body of work. Makhachev is just so much stronger. How can you give someone, you know, his ranking off of one win? And I understand that. There's MMA math involved too. Who have they beaten? This guy beat this guy. This guy, you know, I get it. But for me, a win, even in a 160 pound catch weight bout, essentially a lightweight bout anyway, that to me gives him the spot. I'm trying to think, would they give him the title shot? I'm just trying to think what other options there are besides.
He'll be red hot and everybody will be pushing for it.
He can talk. And Jed raised the great point, man. It's just, it's eerily similar to kind of what happened with Jorge Masvidal. And Jed has been saying for a while that Bobby Green is sort of that Masvidal candidate, you know, that guy who could, respected guy, quote unquote journeyman, well-known name, but not like super famous, certainly not mainstream famous. And a win over Makhachev would not make him mainstream famous unless he did like a, you know, a 5 second flying knee, something like that, which is pretty unlikely. So barring that, just a win, like even like a let's say even like he shocks us all, wins like 4 out of 5 rounds, very convincing decision win, doesn't put him in that Masvidal level of fame, unfortunately, or hype. But it would be enough that if the UFC did need a title challenger, and again, not McGregor, they could do a lot worse than Bobby Green. He can sell a fight, and I think he'd be certainly worthy for whoever, you know, holds the title in the next few months. So I think it's possible, a little less than 50-50. I'm just not sure where they would end up going with it. Maybe Dariush, well, no, he'll be out for a while, won't he? It's a pretty serious ankle injury, so he can't factor into it. But yeah, I don't think it's crazier things have happened in MMA, and I don't think Bobby Green fighting for the title this year. I mean, if you'd asked me that 3 months ago, I would have said you were nuts. Now today, I put it in the realm of likely with a win.
Jed, what is your glaring question heading into this fight? Like outside of the who wins, who loses scenario, what question are you looking forward to the most having answered? Is it as simple as can Bobby Green stay on his feet and can Islam Makhachev get it to the mat, or does it go further than that?
It's definitely not that, because that question isn't particularly interesting to me, and it's not something that, like, I just don't really care about it. That's a really interesting question from you, though, Mike. I guess my biggest question will be just what we've been talking about, which is with a win, is that enough? Does the cult of Islam Makhachev and everything about him and his connections to Habib, because really his career – in a lot of respects, is kind of mirroring Habib's in that Habib was the best lightweight on earth like 3 years before he got the title. Like I was saying it 3 years before he got the title. A lot of people, when RDA went and won the belt after Habib ragdolled them, were like, oh, that's the best dude. It's pretty obviously that dude is the best dude. And this was like all the way back when Pettis had the belt, there was rumblings of, well, we could roll Habib in against Pettis, and that's thing. Like he was clearly the top guy for way longer than it took the UFC to get him a belt, injury and timeline and Conor and all this other stuff going on. And so I guess that's my big question is, Islam has been set back by a number of things like Habib was that aren't entirely in his under his control. You know, last minute opponent changes and COVID and things like that have hindered the advancement of his career, which probably should be holding the title like already. And so even though he still won't have a signature top five win in the division, I guess that really is the big question is if the UFC learned from Habib and just says, hey, this guy's just the best dude, just put him in there. It doesn't matter that he doesn't have a great win in the division. He's just the best guy. We can just put him in there and let's run with it. So that's certainly the thing I'm most interested in the fallout here.
AK, let's get into the picks before we discuss what other fights we have our eyes on. I know you're not super high on the card, but Makhachev, according to our friends at DraftKings, minus 900 favorite, Green the plus 600 underdog. MMA is a crazy sport, AK. Can Bobby Green go out there and shock the damn world tomorrow night? Can he do it?
I am, Mike, you know, I am known both as the Prince of Positivity and as one of the MMA media's greatest cowards. So I rarely take these long shots, even though I have not done my predictions yet. I have a feeling I will write a classic, like two paras of how Bobby Green can win the fight. And the last sentence will just be, oh, but Makhachev's winning anyway. So I already have it in my head how that's going to look. And I think Makhachev's the real deal. I can't bet against him. I do think competitive early going. I think Bobby Green is going to look good. But I think one, Makhachev's a better fighter. And two, taking a fight on short notice like this, I feel like you'd like to have a little more time in camp just to really gear your training towards this specific opponent. I don't know if all the wrestling training in the world can prepare a Bobby Green for an Islam Makhachev, fine. But I do feel like two more weeks or however long they normally take for these sort of things would be really, really helpful. Again, he's fought wrestlers before. He just hasn't fought someone on the level of an Islam Makhachev as far as wrestling goes. And that's going to be the difference as the fight goes on. So I can see Bobby Green, again, doing well early. I could see him winning a round. I could see him threatening. And we can have one of those moments where people always talk about when, like, Michael Jackson barely kind of scathed Khabib. And to this day, people go like, oh, that's Khabib, his questionable chin. And it was, like, literally, like, this two-second moment where I think he got punched and, like, slipped. So I could see that happening. Bobby Green having, like, a flurry and, like, Makhachev, like, slightly kind of getting caught off guard. I'd be like, oh my gosh, that's his weakness. His weakness is striking. It's like, I don't know about that. But either way, I'm going to go Makhachev decision, though. I think Green will is tough enough to survive on the ground. But I think Makhachev pulls away in the last three rounds and wins pretty convincingly rounds 3, 4, and 5, in addition to probably one of the first two rounds. But Green will take a round, and Green will have his moments. I want to ask Jed, because we're going to go to his prediction anyway. Jed, you have Islam Makhachev as your number one lightweight in the MMA fighting global rankings. If he loses to Bobby Green, does Makhachev still keep his spot because it's weird circumstances? Or are you going to bump up Gaethje to number one? Or are you just going to have to do an entire reshuffling and then maybe Dobronx finally gets up in there? It's hard to say until it happens, but.
Depending on how he loses, he's definitely fallen, but how far will depend on Bobby Green and what happened. But Gaethje will go up to one, Oliveira will be two, and then after that it'll figure it out based on how that fight looked, basically. But he would probably drop severely because even with a win, I have to put Bobby Green ahead of him in the rankings, and I will not be able to justify putting Bobby Green ahead of a lot of lightweights, even though I love the dude. And I have been on Bobby Green's corner a lot longer than the rest of people. So, but yeah, it's just not how that would go. So it would just be Gaethje Oliveira at 1 and 2.
So how does this fight end on Saturday? How does this play out? What's the headline going to read?
Oh, Islam Makhachev is going to win. I am going to go out on a corner that not a lot of people are on. I actually think Bobby Green's a really good matchup for Islam Makhachev. And I have not seen a lot of people espouse this belief, mainly because a lot of the stuff AK said, he's gritty, he's a veteran. He hasn't really been dominated via grappling all that often. He knows how to fight, and nobody really blows Bobby Green out. And I think a lot of that's true. I just kind of think it doesn't matter. I'm going to try and say as many ideas as I can very quickly so we don't spend too much time here. One, I think the short notice nature of fights like this actually help Islam Makhachev more than it helps Bobby Green. I usually think that that's a bit inverse just because of the risk-reward scenario. But the reality is, Islam Makhachev doesn't have to – like, you're tweaking a game plan, but you're not tailoring a game plan. The game plan is the exact same. I'm going to go tackle that dude and beat the hell out of him from on top. So it's not like, oh, I have to learn how to box now because I don't want to tackle this guy. It's the same thing for everybody, so it's a very linear option. Habib was the same way. It was just like, yeah, it doesn't really matter that much. He's doing the thing he's doing forever. You are the one who needs to adjust to him. And on that note, like, sure, Bobby Green has not been dominated in grappling. Bobby Green hasn't fought anybody even in the general vicinity of Islam Makhachev as far as top position grappler goes. Talking about a dude who gave up takedowns to acclaimed wrestlers Lando Venata, and basically everybody he's fought has taken him down at one point or another. Like, he is good at being safe, and so I don't think Islam is going to blow the doors off him. However, there isn't a world where Islam gets a quick choke, because Bobby Green does a quad pod up where he gives his back, like, whenever he gets taken down. That's a horrible idea against Islam Makhachev. But assuming he doesn't do that, the rest of the time he's probably going to stay safe. But I have no belief that, you know, if Lando Venata can take you down, Islam Makhachev's going to plant you, and he's just going to keep doing it. Even if Bobby Green is smart and able to adjust to, okay, he's running a pipe on a single, all right, I'm gonna fight the hand here. Like, cool. It's not like Islam Makhachev's a one-trick takedown pony. The whole thing that he and Habib and they do is – they have so many ways to go about skinning that cat. So, and on the other side, yeah, Bobby Green's a better technical striker than Islam Makhachev, but Makhachev is really good defensively on the feet, and Bobby Green is not a big hitter. Like, so there's no – everyone always said with Habib, you got to stop the takedowns, then you just knock him out. Okay, Bobby Green can't stop the takedowns. Even if he can, he's not going to really be able to knock Islam out, at least not as a one-hitter quitter. He's just going to have to build up strikes over time, which is a way to win, but it also just gives Islam infinite opportunities to keep shooting at his hips. Like, there's no – I don't see a way for Bobby Green to consistently generate offense to win the fight. If he does, more power to him, hell of a showing. I think – this fight goes as long as Bobby Green is comfortable staying defensive. I think he's going to get tackled five rounds in a row. And if he decides to risk it for the biscuit and give up position, then Islam will finish him. If he just stays safe, then it's going to be relatively boring and Islam's going to comfortably win every round. So I lean towards the latter, frankly. So we're probably in for 25 minutes of top position grappling.
Yeah, I'm looking at the line right now. Fight goes the distance. Yes, at plus 250 here for this fight. So very interesting. Minus 360 for no. So the betting community doesn't see this going 25 minutes. I'm going to take sort of pieces from what both of you said. Because what's weird about this is, like, the build to this fight has been the Bobby Green show. And I think in the end of this, it's going to look like the build to the fight. I think Bobby Green's going to get a ton of shine. Islam will get some shine as well, but I think Green's going to get a ton of shine for how he performs in there. And I believe him when he says he's going to walk in there as soon as the fight starts, he's going to walk up to Islam Makhachev and punch him right in the face. I also think that Green will be able to show a lot of tenacity in this fight. He has very good takedown defense. I know he gets taken down, but he's very handsy. He can do some different things. He's got very strong hands. He's got good wrist control. Very trickly in the grappling situations, scramble situations. Like Jed said, very good defensively. Islam is just going to keep chaining these takedown attempts together over and over and over and over and over again. And I think Bobby Green will not look out of place for the entire fight. I think he'll be able to get back to his feet a lot of the time. I think he'll be able to avoid a lot of the damage early on. But man, you're talking about a guy in Islam Makhachev, and you're talking about just timing not being on your side, like the risk reward factor. I mean, it checks off all the boxes, but you just fought a 3-round fight 2 weeks prior where you threw a lot of shots. You had to cut weight, and then you have to cut weight again for this one to get to 158. And from interviews he did, him from Ariel, say he was like 195 when he took the fight. That's almost 40 pounds in a week and a half. So I just think over 5 rounds, I just think all those factors will add up. I think Makhachev will start to get rolling. get some momentum. The longer the fight goes, I do think Green will make it the full 25. I think it goes the distance. I think he might be able to win a round, maybe even two. I just don't know. I don't think he can keep up the kind of pace that he'll need to win this fight on 10 days notice, 2 weeks after getting into a 3-round fight where he just beat the hell out of Nasrat Haqparast. I think his stock will rise, maybe even more than Islam's winning the fight, but I'm going with Islam via decision. So I think Bobby gets some praise. Islam, not so much, but I think Green is surviving.
I just want to throw this out there.
I'm gonna jump in real quick. Mr. Mishu, can you check your microphone? Is it working? Because it sounds pretty hollow.
It should be working.
Can you tap your mic? Tap. Oh, maybe you can move. Maybe it's a little too far away from you. Maybe that's what it is.
Perhaps says it.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to say really quickly on the Bobby Green thing. I think the biggest thing in his favor is that Bobby Green is mentally insanely tough, and he will not quit in this fight. Like, that's
no way.
Like that, and that really behooves him a lot, because it can be super frustrating to be underneath somebody for 10, 15, 20 minutes, and or just to panic. Like, if we're being honest, Dan Hooker just kind of panicked when Islam got on top of him. He did like three things defensively that were all disparate. Like, he did three halves of defensive efforts, and instead of one like cohesive plan, and got Kimura'd like instantaneously as a result. Bobby Green's not going to do that. Like, Bobby Green will not care at all if Islam sits on him for 15 minutes. He'll roll out for round four the same as he ever did. And that's his best chance, is to not be broken. But I think it's a horrible match for him.
Yeah, I definitely don't think he's going to get broken. I just think everything's just going to add up and play in Islam's favor. I just think the longer the fight goes, there's only so much you can do physically. Mentally, he's going to be there, and he's going to try his damnedest, and he's going to come up in the fifth round. He's going to talk all sorts of smack and say some things and yell and hoot and holler, and we're all going to love him for it. But then he's probably just going to get taken down again and grind it out for the final 5 minutes of the fight. So it should be fun.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over. Age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
We will go to the peeps in a moment, in a few seconds. But AK, well, I do want to start with you. Mm-hmm. The co-main event is what it is.
The second last fight on the card.
Maybe we'll get the entrances. It'll be officially co-main event. We didn't get that last week. We did the week before. We got Misha Serkinov versus Wellington Turman at 185 pounds. But there are some pretty interesting bouts on this card. So outside of this main event, which fight stands out to you the most? What's the fight outside of this Makhachev-Green fight that you are most intrigued by?
I mean, look, there's several. As much as I was dumping on the card at the beginning, the one that jumps out right away, main card, Arman Tsarukyan, Joel Alvarez. It's a strange fight because both guys have had issues with making weight. Tsarukyan has missed weight once. Joel Alvarez has missed weight two consecutive times. He's a very, very tall lightweight, but clearly a talented guy. And Tsarukyan, we have been touting him. He's only, I think, 24, maybe 25 now. We've been touting him as a future top five, definitely a top 10 guy. He just has that great mixture of wrestling and athleticism. And again, just that this seemingly I would say bottomless potential. Bottomless is good. and endless potential, I should say. And Joel Alvarez is the right matchup for him. They both won four straight. This feels like, again, I love, you know, sometimes I want to protect people, but sometimes I think it's good to just throw two guys who are on winning streaks, see what you got. Because, I'm sure Tsarukyan is favored. Joel Alvarez, I mean, a win for him would not surprise me. Like I said, he's also extremely talented. So other than the weight cut issues, I mean, it's just that's a great – that really should be the second last fight. That's a fight that if you called it the co-main event of this card, Mike, I would not balk at it. I am balking at Misha Serkinov and Wellington Turman being a co-main event, even when it was originally – Serkinov Muradov was a little more appealing, I'll say. I guess it did. But they could have reshuffled the card. So I'll go with Tsarukyan and Alvarez.
Tsarukyan, -220 favorite as of right now, according to DraftKings. Come back on Joel Alvarez, +180, made weight 156 pounds. So good on him. He needed the box of redemption, but he made it. Jed, what's yours? What's your Jed's main event out of the actual main event?
I mean, Tsarukyan Alvarez is probably the best fight on this card, just full stop. Really fascinating. But since AK already did a really good job running that down, there's honestly not a ton on the undercard I'm super excited about. Terrence McKinney is an interesting person. We talked about him yesterday. Sean Alshadi did a good job of explaining why. If I have to pick just one more, give me also on the main card, also an Armin. Armin Petrosian versus Gregory Rodriguez. Look, this isn't a fight between world beaters or future champions or guys who are even necessarily going to make it into the top 15 of the middleweight division. But this is classic Styles matchup, man. And I'm always here for something fun, some shenanigans. It's going to be done within inside of 15 minutes. Armin Petrosian is an accomplished kickboxer. He is the brother to Giorgio Petrosian, one of the best kickboxers in the world. And, you know, he came in. This is his debut. He's coming in off the Contender Series where he looked exactly like you would think. He's not great at wrestling, but he stayed safe enough and kept getting back to his feet and then knocked the dude out because he's got hands. And Gregory Rodriguez is a BJJ world champion who is extremely stiff and lumbering and slow and punches kind of hard, but also gets way too excited by the fact that he can punch kind of hard. And so he will get into brawls when it does not suit him. And so there's a world where he tries to kickbox with a Petrosian, which is awful. But if he just gets body locks and takedowns, like, he's a BJJ world champion. So this is an all or nothing fight. It's two true outcomes, and I'm in. I want to see what's going to happen. It's at least going to be really fun, even if it's maybe kind of stupid and probably not leading to anything bigger.
That is actually a really interesting fight.
It's a really fun fight.
Oh, and by the way, I think Rodriguez is a sleeper contender at 185. I disagree. If he wins, for sure. I think a win over Petrosian puts him somewhere in the top 20.
He's like a super poor man version of Rafael Lovato Jr.
Jun Young Park is really good, and he smoked him. Jun Young Park
smoked him. He didn't smoke him, AK. He lost the first two rounds, probably.
Yeah, he won. He finished.
He came back and won.
He's getting clobbered to death, and because he is a
who won the fight?
Obliterated. He did. Hey, and credit won the to fight? Him for eating like 1,700 shots to the dome.
Sure,
but that man, you can't do that against. Sure, Jungian Park's like okay, but if you do that against like a good middleweight, you're dead. If he doesn't against Petrosian, he's dead.
He's a sleeper, and he was one of my top five breakout fighters of 2021. I'll tell you that right now.
You could be right. Listen, if he grapples, he's great.
I don't think it's out of the question.
He's a Rafael Lovato Jr.
Gregory Rodriguez's game plan is very simple. We take him down, we try to mount him, and we try to bash him until the referee pulls us off in the first round. Because you know what happens when you have a man like a Gregory Rodriguez who is built like a Gregory Rodriguez. What happens when you have all these muscles and these fights gets extended? And we saw it in his last fight. He gets tired. And what happens when you're taking on a high-level kickboxer with one punch power or one kick power and a fight gets extended? It's bad news. It is very bad news. Now, Petrosian has been stopped before, and it wasn't all that long ago that it happened, but sometimes you make a mistake. He's only 6-1 as an MMA fighter. He's got all that experience in the kickboxing realm. But yeah, that is a really interesting fight. Rodriguez should win because what he does very well, he does it better than Petrosian does. But Petrosian knows he's going to get taken down. He knows he's probably going to have to get back to his feet. And can Rodriguez keep that pace and stay out of danger for 15 minutes? That's a big ask. So to me, I look at that fight as Rodriguez either submits him or mounts him and TKOs him in the first round, or boy, oh boy, it could get really rough.
Petrosian knocks him out. It's two outcomes. All that's happening. Submission or KO.
That's a very interesting betting line right now. Right now, plus 135 on Petrosian. That's not a bad look right there. But the Tsarukyan fight is obviously the pick for me. Nobody on planet Earth has been higher on Arman Tsarukyan than I have been, except maybe his manager and his team. Many have jumped on board, but I've been driving that bus for a long time now. Him and Joel Alvarez is a great fight. Two dangerous guys, two super bright prospects in this division. I think it's the right type of matchup. These are super prospects, in my opinion. I love the Ignacio Bahamondes Zhurong fight. I just wish Zhurong didn't miss weight by 4 pounds. That should be a lot of fun. The Petrosian and Rodriguez Petrosian is just super intriguing. But is this the most star-studded card of all time? No. Are there some really good fights on here? Yes. Are there some interesting up-and-comers? Yes, there definitely is. I really like this card for those reasons. There's some stuff I wish we could just take out of it. We had like an 8-fight card, but I actually think at the end of this, when we do the post-fight show, we're going to be talking about a pretty fun card. So let's go to the peeps and see how much fun they're having. Go ahead, Jed.
Go ahead. Jed, you go first, please.
Oh, good. You can talk about the co-main because I don't care at all. I just want to throw a quick shout out to the other Nunes, the other women's bantamweight.
Oh, I like her,
Hosianne. I'm interested just because she could be fun. Like, she came in, made her UFC debut last time, was coming off of a good career on the regional circuit, but you also just never know how much stock to put in women's regional Brazilian MMA. Like, there's a lot of range there for whether you're good or just trash. But she blew the doors off Bea Malecki in her debut. So, like, I'm interested to see if this is actually a woman who can make waves in the bantamweight division. Like, this is – so, yeah, just wanted to give her a shout-out because there's no chance anyone asks a question about her.
Yeah, I didn't know that this was changed to a 145, obviously, because Pascual, you know, coming on short notice. I'm glad it was.
Oh, I didn't know that. But I didn't realize it.
Yeah, so it's a 145. So 5'2", Josianne Nunes weighed in at 145 pounds for this fight. And it's just like, and it kind of makes sense when you look at, she does have like she is kind of stocky and has pretty long arms, you know, relative to her height. But like, still, that like blows my mind. Like, I'm impressed that she made 145. Like, she must, I think she had to work to like make that weight. I don't, she had to like eat something before the weight, because she is so tiny. I'm like, how is she 145? Like, I thought it was a mistake. I thought they read the weight wrong. And I realized it had been changed. That sure enough, she had made the championship featherweight, championship weight. So
championship weight.
Good for championship weight.
Nunes versus Nunes. Let's go.
Despite being 6 pounds shorter, or six inches shorter, Nunes will have the reach advantage in this fight.
I know.
She will have the reach
advantage.
Very
long arms.
And she hits very, very hard. Yes. Yeah.
She's a slugger. Straight up.
We might have a spectacular knockout on our hands when that fight happens. Sure. I think Nunes is just going to be fun.
Yeah, or it could be a good scrap. But yeah, I mean, just Mike, you said, you know, obviously we know the fight nights at this point, we should stop looking for these sort of, you know, usual fight nights to have, you know, name power from top to bottom. That's not fair to the fighters. It's not fair to the UFC. We know they're putting on it's not fair to the UFC matchmakers, let me put it that way. And the people who are responsible for finding this talent and signing these people, they're being told to put on 48 cards a year, however many it is. There's only so much talent out there. You can point fingers wherever you want for, you know, these cards being so lackluster, but I know some people, they're certainly putting in their best efforts trying to fill these cards. But like Alto Morano, Hernandez, I mean, these are two contender series guys. Yes, I know that's the purpose of contender series, to find guys, and why not to contender series guys against each other? But that's still what the fight is, and it just feels weird that it's on a UFC card. I don't know. Brahim Mai is coming on short notice. Michael Gilmore is only being kept around because the UFC really likes him because he's insane on The Ultimate Fighter and literally threw his life away so he could be a reserve on The Ultimate Fighter. So, I hope he's getting another paycheck. If he wins, hey, maybe this becomes an entirely other story.
He is not going to win.
But he's just – he's not a UFC-level fighter, and that's fine. It's not – everyone is. I don't mind some of the other fights. Yeah, Perez Martinez, which is essentially a bantamweight fight, just having a featherweight, and McKinney's. But yeah, I'm not as high on the Nunes Pascual matchup or the Zhu Rong Bahamondes matchup. Gian Kim Priscilla Cachoeira should not be anywhere near a main card. It's just not a strong card. I don't love it, but this is the the ESPN weekly card era now, right? So
I love the Bahamondes Zhu Rong fight. I think it's going to be super fun. Like, you got both guys had tough debuts, but then they bounce back with like spectacular performances in their follow-up. So I mean, it should be fun. I like where those guys are at right now. You get two dudes who could do something in this division, and let's just throw it out there now and see what happens. See who the best.
I'm really cheesed by the weight miss. I will say, definitely put me off the matchup. Yeah.
Yes, you four do pounds, not. You right? Hate weight misses.
Well, I don't mind them that bad. 4 pounds.
He weighed in 15 minutes after the weigh-in started.
And it's the second straight. And he missed weight again. Second straight time, by the way, he missed weight. So there's two misses, and he missed by more than the last time. So it's not great.
He's gonna have to bump up because those weight cuts are only gonna get worse and are gonna get tougher and tougher. He's what, 21 years old? So it's just only gonna get worse going down at this point. So let's go to the peeps. Let's see what they're excited about. Let's see what is on their intrigue lists in regards to.
Didn't we answer that this last week?
Speaking of the peeps, by the way, 61% picking Makhachev in the main event.
60. Wow. All right. A lot of support for Bobby Green.
Yeah, but they're not putting their money on it yet.
yeah, that's the difference between answering a YouTube poll and betting.
That's a prop bet special.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, if you're interested in Bobby Green, you can get Bobby Green at plus 1400 on DraftKings to win by decision.
By decision.
And if Bobby Green's winning, it's probably by decision. So worst place is to take a flyer.
I guess knockout's getting better odds because people are thinking he needs to land a lucky punch or something to like win.
Almost. Well, yeah. The idea is that he's not going to win 25 minutes against.
Sure. Right.
I think that's actually more likely than him like tapping Makhachev or whatever.
Yeah, submission has to be. I mean, submission must be even higher though. Submission must be like plus 4,000 or something. Right? I mean, I can't even.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't looked at the odds lately, but
I'll pull it up while we go to the peeps.
All right. Well, first question. Let's talk about the middleweight that's been left out of the conversation due to his broken foot or something.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oh, where does this leave Dariush? Who can he get inside the top five? I mean, I think it's probably way too early to tell at this point because we don't know how long he's going to be out for. It's a pretty bad injury he suffered. So we might not see him at all this year, if we're being honest. I think he gets right back in there, right? I think he gets a pretty decent fight when he gets back. It just depends on who emerges. I mean, if Bobby Green wins, then all bets are off. But if Makhachev wins and we have to see how these title fights play out, where does Connor fit and all that? I don't know if there's too many unanswered questions here, AK.
Can you imagine if Darius comes back and he has to fight like a Michael Chandler? Oh man, that'd be tough.
Bobby Makhachev. that's a
yeah, but the difference is the difference is Makhachev is like, you know, the clear cut number one contender. It's more to gain. Chandler's is behind, and I mean not far behind, but certainly far behind certainly is behind in the rankings. I mean, that's just Darius protecting his spot if he ends up against Michael Chandler. I mean, that's tough. He was going to be able to take Makhachev's spot. Now instead he's once again having to fight someone. And again, I don't know if a win over Michael Chandler gets him a title shot.
So the question is,
it probably should,
when
but
Darius comes back, is he still the number one contender with his next fight? Or is he just now? I think that's the question.
Yeah, if he comes back, his next fight is if he comes back, he probably fights the loser of Gaethje Oliveira based on how everything else is shaking out.
Like, that's another option. That would be a best case scenario, I think, getting the loser of that fight for sure.
Because I think he is for sure still in that next win should get him a title fight, even though people are going to be mad. His run is a little bit smoke and mirrors right now. He's still he's got seven whatever wins in a row. Like he should still be in that position to, beat a guy, get a title fight. And so I think loser of Oliveira Gaethje makes sense, depending timeline.
Plus you got these up-and-coming 55ers too. You got Fazeev, who's got a big fight coming up against RDA. We'll see where he's at. Sarukian, if he goes out there and bolts Joel Alvarez and gets a big win, he might turn around quick and get a big win. We'll see where he's at. We could have some new fresh names kind of in this division. So like I said, with 155 and some of these guys coming up and some of these fights that are on the books already, I think it's a little early to tell. But yeah, I think depending on who's in that top five, you give Dariush a main event against one of those guys, and if he wins, he gets a title fight next.
I mean, honestly, regardless of the outcome, I would be down for this. Give me Bobby Green versus Michael Chandler. When you said Michael Chandler, fight feels like that. That makes all the sense to me. I don't really care about Michael Chandler versus Tony Ferguson. I'd watch it, but give me Bobby Green, Michael Chandler, win or lose this weekend. That feels like that's good.
And by the way, for those wondering, Bobby Green to win by submission plus 3,500.
3,500. Okay, yeah. That should be even
higher. Makhachev to win. Makhachev to win by decision is plus 330.
Yeah. The bet I have down is a double chance on to win by decision or sub because he's not going to punch him out. But I do have some concerns about Green's tendency to give up his back. And that's just a really dangerous game to play. So I don't feel all the way confident in saying by decision. But
When someone submits due to an injury, they just call that a TKO now, right? There's no submission due to injury. It's all lumped under TKO, right?
If they tap out,
submission from strikes.
Yeah, if they hurt their ribs or something and they like tapped out, do they just call that?
If they tap out, it's a submission.
Really? Okay, because I was saying that's the only tap out,
but they usually don't tap out.
Sure, like that's the only, or it could be verbal, you know, the guy cries out in pain and something like that. But I think that's the only reason, because like I think 30 plus 3,500 is still, I'd put like plus 4,000, plus 6,000 or something for Bobby Green by submission. Unless you're counting some sort of injury submission, then that's the MMA. They have to take into account the MMA weirdness factor, I think, when making those odds.
All right, another question from Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson.
Why the hell is McKinney on the prelim? What do you guys think about that?
It's a weird one. It's not even the featured prelim. Obviously, they had high hopes for the Zhurong Bahamandas matchup, as you mentioned, Mike. On paper, very strong, a very cool, potentially strong matchup between two up and coming guys. I would have put McKinney and Ziam in that spot, especially since McKinney is someone I feel like they should get behind. Another guy who was on my top five breakout fighters from last year, counting, of course, not work outside the UFC before he made his spectacular debut. Fastest finish in knockout in lightweight history, right?
7 seconds, yep.
Yeah, crazy, right? So I think he's a great story. And then his story of almost dying, which he's told many times, and is, frankly, I'll probably never get tired of hearing. It's one of those things that I think should be he likes to talk about it, and it is so much a big part of his journey. I think it would have made for a nice ESPN video package into a featured prelim. Maybe they have something prepared anyway. I don't know. It just feels weird randomly stuck in, if this is the schedule they're sticking with, in between Perez, Martinez, and Nunez, Pascual. So I'm not sure. It's never a horrible thing to go slow burn with these guys, but I think McKinney and Ziem are both talented and potentially, again, fast rising fighters at 155, depending how Saturday's fight goes. So I guess for Matisse, I don't have an answer. I think it's silly. It should be the featured prelim, if not on the main card.
I think it's incredibly indicative of UFC matchmaking these days. They, like, straight up, it's happening because they do not know what they potentially have with Terrence McKinney. I have no idea if Terrence McKinney is a great fighter. He is showing good signs, but he's really good at self-promotion, and he has making himself interesting in a way that you need to do, because the UFC is not going to do you any favors. And the UFC clearly just doesn't recognize this yet. He's had one fight in the organization, and that's probably why, maybe after this one. But this reeks to me of, we don't know, it's just a dude. We're just throwing some bodies on this undercard, and that's it. Like, yeah, he should be much higher up. We've talked about some fights that shouldn't be on the main card. I would say Terrence McKinney would make more sense there, but doing a feature prelim or second from the top of the prelims is where he should be. But It's all going to come out in the wash anyway. It's not a huge deal, but it is very dumb.
Yeah, I mean, it might just be the matchup, because Perez is very technical and McKinney is such an explosive guy early. So if McKinney can't get him out of there in the first round, the fight could be not all that exciting. Honestly, like, that's just, I mean, go back and watch every Terrence McKinney fight. He either wins his contender series fight. Was a crazy fight. It was nuts for the first round. And then he got tired. And I mean, that's what could happen here, because Perez is an experienced guy within the UFC. He's actually a really good technical striker. He might not be the explosive knock you out in 7 seconds kind of guy, but he's got like a pretty good kickboxing pedigree. The guy can strike. The guy is good, and he's a very technical fighter. And McKinney's best bet to probably win this fight is to wrestle him, is to take him down over and over again. Because Terrence can wrestle. He just doesn't typically need it because he hits so damn hard. But Perez could take a shot, man. That dude's got a good chin on him. I think it's an interesting fight. I just maybe like the matchmakers and maybe the UFC is just kind of looking at it as like, okay, Terrence gets a first-round knockout. We'll just play the highlight over and over again. But there is a chance that this fight slows down quite a bit as it progresses, if it gets out of the first. So maybe that's it. But yeah, he should probably be on the main card over some of these other fights. But as I say, maybe that's the way they're looking at it.
I think Misha Cirkunov, Wellington Terman's on the main card. So
you guys are co-main on the main card. That's the co-main.
No co-main. There is no co-main. This card doesn't have a co-main.
Wellington begs to differ. Wellington begs to differ.
This is the third fight night in a row that does not have an official co-main, in my opinion. There's been a main, but all the past three fight nights have not had co-mains. There's no co-main.
Right. We already know the rule. If they show the entrances, it's a co-main. If they don't,
I have not agreed to this rule. I don't care if they show. If they show their entire entrances and they say co-main event to the they're red in the face. I know what a co-main event looks like. This ain't one.
We get a 5-round co-main next weekend with Fazeev and RDA. That should be fun.
That's a co-main. That's a man's co-main.
Battle of the Rafaels.
All right.
What else we got?
But I also threw a poll now. What besides the main event, most anticipated fight, and Surikhan Alvarez leading quite a bit, 56%.
Obviously the best fight on the card.
Sure. McKinney Ziem, 18%. Cirkunov Turman, 12%. Cirkunov Turman behind other at 14%. Other is beating the quote unquote co-main. That's not a good sign. Actually, that's not fair. That's a field, right? And that's a lot of competition. That's a lot of fights. You know, that's not fair. That's not fair. That's not fair to Cirkunov and Turman.
Wellington.
Oh man.
Or Misha Cirkunov.
Is Wellington a common Brazilian name?
I don't know.
That's
a geek cruise question.
It just seems like
let's ask a
name like Montgomery Burns' cousin would be Wellington. All right. Another question from Mr. Anderson.
is Armada future champion. He's underrated in my opinion. He's got a very good chance. You don't think he's a future champion? I mean, it's too early to tell, but he's he's got the ability. He's definitely got the ceiling to get there someday.
Will he be in a number one contenders fight within his UFC career? Fighting for championships is one thing, but will he be in a number one contenders fight?
I think he'll get to a number one contenders fight. I think, look, I know that Casey hates it, and I'm probably going to get some sound effects. Lightweight's the best division by a lot. It's just – it's an impossible division to be good at. And you should just always bet that even the most exciting, hyped prospect isn't going to be a champion because it's basically impossible to be a lightweight champion. Like we were talking earlier that Mike was saying, you know, Armand, maybe he can get a fun fight. He can't. He goes out here and puts the size nines to Joel Alvarez. He's going to fight another dude who's probably not even ranked because you have to string together 36 wins in this division to even get in the conversation. Like, Rafael Fiziev, if he beats RDA next week, he is still not going to have his next fight even be a number one contenders fight. He's going to move up to, like, six and need two more because the division is just insane. Like, it is so hard to make hay. So you are just – Sarukian has a lot of talent. I love the hell out of his game. I love how well-rounded, how comprehensive of an MMA fighter he is. His ability to blend stuff is excellent. But if you just always bet that anybody good at lightweight isn't going to be a future champion, and you'll mostly be right because it's impossible to be – Gregor Gillespie's been insanely good for like 5 years, and he's ranked 12 or whatever the shit he is. Like it's impossible to make headway in this division.
Well, let's just talk about the main event, Bobby Green. Oh, 10 years ago, he fought on televised Strikeforce cards. So, well, I'm not counting, you know, King of the Cages and stuff. So he was a true professional fighter 10 years ago, and he's just now on short notice getting kind of a shot at being, you know, the elite of the elite. So yes, I 100% agree with you, Mr. Michu. No sound effects.
I also don't think Armin is underrated. I think that's the other part of the question I actually have an issue with. He's actually pretty like revered. Like mainstream
underrated, popular is totally underrated by the ranking on the card. I mean, he's no Wellington tournament.
Is he even though he's he's main card. He's on this main card. His last fight was on a main card. He's fought on pay-per-view. He fought UFC 240 on pay-per-view. He's had more fights
underneath Misha Serkinov and Jung Kim. So
he's had more.
Somebody's underrating him.
He's underrated.
That's not underrated for a guy who's 24 years old and has only fought four times in the UFC. He's actually way more. If anything, he's gotten way more acclaim than most people his age have at this point in their careers. So I don't agree that he's underrated. Like, I obviously, it's a matter of perspective, but like I think most people who are keeping up with MMA, like keeping up with the UFC at least, are aware of Armin Sarukian because again, he's been on a lot of main cards. Like he's just. You really can't avoid him. He's had more fights on main cards than he hasn't, you know. So I don't think he's that underrated.
All right. We have a question from Mixed Perfection.
How does Bobby Green's ability to slip punches help fight off Islam's wrestling, if at all, Jed Meshew?
Minimally. I mean, his ability to slip punches is not irrelevant because Islam. That's one of the big things about Islam and Habib that people like. Habib never just ran across the cage and tackled people. He didn't Ben Askren people. He would strike with them for a while, and he lets the takedown opportunities come, and then maybe he'll force it after he gets comfortable, has a read on range, timing, etc. Islam's a better striker than Habib. I think he's less powerful and less athletic, but he is a better striker. And so I think Bobby Green's ability to slip punches will create opportunities for offense. Also, it's a real big problem with Bobby Green slipping punches in this fight, though. Like, if his defense is to stay in the pocket and slip punches, then that by definition means he is in the pocket on Islam, who is then just going to grab him. He's like, oh, cool, you are still right here. I'm just going to grab you, and we'll work an underhook series off this. Like, I think Bobby Green's best effort is to come forward. I think what he has said is right. He needs to come forward and try and push Islam back, take the initiative away from Islam, make him shoot off the back foot. That'll be more difficult. But if he's slipping punches, it's probably not great for him for a number of reasons.
Yep. He said it. That's it.
Yep. Take one, maybe two more. I don't want to keep you off from Bellator.
Yeah.
If Bobby Green pulls off the upset, will he be the first number one contender / title challenger late replacement to win?
No. John Jones, and didn't he replace Rashad in that one fight?
No, that was in title fight. We're talking about kind of like kind of coming.
Isn't that the question? Yeah, isn't that the question? The first late replacement.
He came in on like 2 months' notice or something, though.
Sure, but I think that's the question. It's definitely happened more than once. I mean, John Jones immediately jumps to mind. That's not a late replacement, though.
He replaced Rashad and fought. Shogun, right? Rashad's hurt, so John's going to get it instead of Rashad.
That's the question. I mean, the question is asking.
No, I'm talking from a timeline standpoint. It was not like a late replacement. It was Rashad's hurt. In 3 months, they're going to fight, but Rashad has a blown ACL. John gets it instead.
Sure. But definitely it's not. I mean, that's the one that came to mind.
It's a unique circumstance. But like John Denton. Was the Bader fight? John didn't come in and beat Bader like on 2 weeks' notice and then get the title shot. I think the question is more like, does someone come in like a quick late replacement? Oh, actually, Brian Ortega, Frankie Edgar. Did Brian Ortega get a title shot after he knocked out Frankie Edgar on short notice?
He did. I didn't remember that being short notice, but he did get his title fight off that.
Yeah. Whoa! What the?
That was savage.
That was me.
That's wild.
Diaz won the Conor McGregor belt, which is the most lucrative of all belts.
That's true. Yep.
I can't think of. Yeah. I'm certain that there are others. I can't think of off the top of my head.
Something out there. I might as well throw some Conor in there.
It's a good question.
Yeah. Conor gets paid lots of money. UFC has to put him in big fights only. It's business, not tournament fighting.
I think this is in reference to talking about if Conor gets a title shot.
More importantly, Mike, do you know how many fights Conor has left on his contract? I believe it's two, but I'm not certain on that.
Two from all indications, it's two.
You know, it would behoove the UFC, who are probably not going to be able to resign him, to try and get him a title before his contract runs out. Both because they want to do that anyway. They want, as Dylan Weston said, they want big fights. Titles are big fights. And also, you know, give them a little bit of leverage should he end up holding a belt as his contract expires. That just gives them a little more room to work. So, yeah, I stand by everything I said yesterday. I think if Oliveira wins, whether the UFC will do it or not, I can't say, but Oliveira is going to do everything he can to fight Conor McGregor next. And doesn't matter. And he will say specifically, Islam Makhachev doesn't have a top five win. Why would I fight that dude? I'm fighting Conor McGregor. And Conor will call for it and they will dare the UFC to blink. And the UFC doesn't have a great track record of blinking or of sticking to it in those situations. So I still think that's the outcome if those things play out that way.
Who was Conor's manager that was on MMA Hour?
Tim Simpson.
I think Tim Simpson.
It's his management group.
Sure, sure.
But I think Tim said it kind of correctly when he said, I think Arrow asked something about this. Will Conor come back and get a title shot? And Tim simply said, UFC is a business. They like making money. Which is amazing. That's it
at the end of the day, right? That is the story at the end of the day. We can speculate. Anytime we're speculating about matchmaking, it always comes down to that. We mentioned before, negotiations and things like that, too.
That's why I put this question up because, like you said, this is a business and not tournament fighting. Unfortunately, however you want to see.
I will also say that if Islam wins and Gaethje wins, there's a non-zero chance Gaethje tries to fight Poirier because Poirier is bigger business. They already have a thing there, and that.
Yep.
I don't necessarily think that happens. I'm saying that's in play as well. And give me Dustin Poirier, Justin Gaethje 2 all day. That's awesome.
That's a spicy. All right. Let me see what else we got. You know what?
There they go.
Here we go. Maybe for our last question.
Oh, right. Coming up.
Well, apologies to those in the podcast because by the time you probably hear this fight will be over. All right. Let's just knock it out.
You'll know if we're geniuses or idiots.
AK, who you got? Musasi or Vanderford?
I like Vanderford a lot, and I think he has kind of the skill. Like one thing we've talked about in the ranking shows a lot. I think early in the season, we're kind of predicting like who is most likely to fall out of like a top five spot. I think we did that in one of our year end shows, and I think Jed accurately said like, I mean, it's got to be Musasi because he just keeps facing these sort of mandatory challengers, as it were. Vanderford, look, a good record. He's fought his way up Bellator the right way. He's 5-0 in Bellator, 11-0 as a pro. But I mean, he's certainly not the name of, you know, when we think like elite top 10 middleweights, Austin Vanderford does not jump out to you in most discussions. And he might be after he beats Musasi, or he beats Musasi and they knocks them both out of the top 10. So there's so much intrigue. There's so much intrigue with the Musasi fights now, because he really is one loss away from losing this like top five spot that a lot of us have had him entrenched in for 5-6 years. Like there's just been no reason to take it away from him. But if he loses to Vanderford, I mean, I don't know. It's going to cause to sort of, you know, reevaluate our whole thing. So I'm leaning towards Musasi. I think the striking is just a whole other level than anyone that Vanderford has fought so far. That's really the big difference. I don't think Vanderford is such a great wrestler that he can like just dominate Musasi for 5 rounds. I know that's kind of been the criticism, or was at least in the past, with strong enough wrestling and a good gas tank, you can take a decision from Musasi that way. I just don't know. Maybe I just haven't seen enough of Austin Vanderford. I don't think he's quite in that level of a wrestler. Certainly nowhere near the level of a striker. I think Musasi actually finishes him. I'll go finish second or third round.
Musasi, fourth round TKO for me. I just think I think Vanderford will land a couple takedowns, so I think Musasi will just keep getting up. And I think eventually Vanderford will start to get tired. He'll shoot. He'll take some big shot. And then he'll force a takedown that isn't there. Musasi will pounce on it and then finish him in the fourth round. I think it's a, you know, fine showing for Vanderford, but I just don't see a world where Musasi in this fight. But
and he's earned the title shot. He's earned the title shot, by the way. I didn't want to crap on him saying like, oh, he doesn't deserve a title shot. He is the fair number one contender in Bellator's middleweight division. So I'm for that as well.
Yeah. And he's got a shot at the 205 title basically waiting in the wings if he wins this fight. So whoever comes out of the Grand Prix, he's already got basically they've been telling him for like 2 years, when we do this light heavyweight Grand Prix, whenever it's over, it's champion versus champion. So a lot more at stake for Musasi here. Jed, who's your final pick?
I'll split the difference in y'all. I think fourth round submission, rear naked choke. Everything you guys said is mostly true. Vanderford has beaten a lot of guys who don't suck, but he hasn't. This would be the biggest win by light years of his career. Just an unbelievable jump up in quality, an opponent. I think maybe he can score takedowns in the first round, but he's not going to do a lot of damage. He's not a big fin. If he was a better finisher, maybe, but he's just not. Moose is just going to hang around. He didn't take over late. He's just a much better fighter. And so he will win, and he will be the second best Dutch middleweight currently in the world, behind my boy who already did work earlier today, Hennie de Ridder. Get on the RDR train, boys, because it's coming.
Right. It's rainier. It's rainier. I mean, he's not Brazilian. You don't need to.
Hennie de Ridder, baby. Choo choo.
Hennie de Ridder. I believe it's Rainier, like Rainier Wolfcastle.
Rainier de Ridder, baby. Choo choo. Okay.
All right.
Get on that RDR train. You guys can get on the bandwagon before it fills up. My man.
You know what that music means? It means we're getting the virtual cane and being pulled off the stage here. So we out. We'll be back tomorrow, 3:30 Eastern, for the People's Pre-Fight Show. So join us for that. We'll be answering your questions for 30-40 minutes before the first fight begins, and then we'll be back after the card as well, and probably Jed and I will jump on Twitter Spaces at some point throughout the
we're gonna do it. We gotta market it, Mike. Gotta get him there. Twitter Spaces tomorrow.
We're gonna do it before the main card, so stay tuned for that. So for AK, for Jed, big shots Casey on the ones and twos, I am Mike Hack. Enjoy Bellator, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
From data privacy to the future of TV, retail media, and beyond, the world of digital marketing is constantly in flux. So how can you keep up? Well, The Current Report is there for you. Each week, marketing leaders on the cutting edge give you the latest insight. So if it's creating a buzz, they'll be talking about it. Subscribe to The Current Report wherever you get your podcasts.